Chale.
All right, well, good afternoon, Morro Bay. My name is Aaron Graves, and I am the chairman for the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District, also known as the TBID. Now we'll establish a quorum of our board members here today and kick off our special meeting October 24th at 1 p.m. with the special purpose of discussing the TBID, vacation rentals, RV parks, and the possible matriculation of those entities together. From my right to left, we have Sean Green, Maggie Jurin, Charlie Yates, and myself, so we do have a quorum of board members present. The purpose of today's meeting will be to discuss the TBID, RV parks, and vacation rentals, and that presentation will be given exclusively today by the city staff. So we have three presenters today. We have our Deputy City Manager, Econ E.T., followed by Jennifer Little, our Director of Tourism, will not be present, excuse me, and then Scott Graham will be actually presenting the Director of Development here for the city. So without further ado, I will turn the microphone over to Econ E.T. Now, actually, real quickly, also note to all of you as well. We want this process to be a transparent dialogue within the community. This board member, all of us boards as members here are made up of the constituency as well. We are just like you. I will be opening the microphone to public comment, so please come give us public comment. We have received quite a few emails on this topic, and those are included in your agenda packets for full transparency, as well as the opportunity to speak on the microphone. So we will encourage that highly. Econ?
Thank you, Chair Graves. Agenda packets are located in the back. You can see the agenda and correspondence, what people expressed through emails. There's two agenda packets going around, so if you're able to share. You can also look online on the meeting calendar on the website to pull one. If you have if you have your phone, you could pull up agenda packet online on the city website as well. So we're going to talk about a few things. You understand one of the reasons why we're here gathered today is to understand vacation rentals and RV parks potential inclusion in the tourism business improvement district. I'll share some background information. I'll share some the history on kind of why we're in front of you today and what happened back in 2009 when the TBID was formed. But before I get to that, I'm going to turn over the time. Vacation rentals, what we've been hearing about is any updates on the moratorium. Please tell us more on the moratorium for vacation rentals. So I'll turn over time to Scott, and then I'll take the mic after that. Yes, Scott Graham, our community development director.
Since it's one slide, I'll just do it from here. So an update on the vacation rental moratorium. The council back in 2016 adopted emergency ordinances 604 and 605 that implemented a 24-month moratorium on vacation rentals and set the cap at 250. At that time, we were at about 170, and we hit 250 in 2 months after the cap was put in place. We remain at that cap right now, and we have about 60 vacation rentals on the waiting list currently. The moratorium will end on June 14th, 2018, so next summer. And we are working through an update of the city's zoning code, general plan, local coastal program, all of those documents. I mean, as part of the zoning code portion, we will be developing the vacation rental ordinance. And those efforts will probably start in December or so of this year and then continue until summer of next year. That's sort of where the moratorium at this point stands. And I guess you can move forward with the rest of your presentation, Connie.
Can I have one question on that, though? Sorry, let me get a microphone,
please, so we can record this. Yeah, Nick Jurin with Beach and Bay Getaways. And if the moratorium ends on June 14th, does that mean that you will immediately license those 60 rentals or whoever's on the waiting list at that time?
Assuming that we have an ordinance in place at that time, we will look at those applications, and depending on what the ordinance ends up saying, we'll review them in light of what the ordinance that's developed, and what its requirements are. At this point, don't know what those are going to be, so it's a little hard to say, but we will be looking at those as the first, set of items that we'd be looking to permit, as well as the existing 250. The decision is whether those get grandfathered or not will be up to the City Council when we move through the process.
Okay. My question was more, if you don't have the regulations in place, will you just extend the moratorium?
We can't extend the moratorium, so we need to have the ordinance in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I will share some background information, the history of the TBID here in Morro Bay, and then also some of the questions that we've been receiving in the email, try to answer some of those questions. So Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District, the timeline was created in 2009. The rate was set at 3%, and pretty much from there the whole time it's been at 3% to where we are right now. TBID management. So the questions we've been receiving is how is TBID managed? Right now we have a TBID advisory board, which you have four board members in front of you today up on the dais. It's a seven-member board. Six seats are filled. They meet monthly, every third Thursday, 9 a.m. at Vets Hall here in this building. So the TBID advisory board, they give direction, tourism direction, and that direction is implemented by tourism staff. Tourism staff consists of three staff members. Jennifer Little is the tourism manager. She's right here to my left. And there's an executive assistant, marketing and communication. So they work together hand in hand with the TBID advisory board. They give direction, and Jennifer and her staff go out and implement that direction. Another question we had is, what is the TBID process? So yes, we're here today at the town hall meeting for the potential inclusion of vacation rentals and RV parks into the TBID, but when can we voice our opinion? Is there a public hearing? So here on this timeline, this is kind of the process that we're following. Today's a town hall meeting, receiving public input. We're going to listen to you. We'll have public comments at the end, we'll have some takeaways as staff from the TBID board. In November, December, TBID will have discussions. There will be more public comments at the monthly TBID meetings, hopefully from you all. Feel free to continue sharing emails and phone calls to staff and to the TBID board. But the purpose of those meetings are to get to a final recommendation from TBID. This process is really a two-part process. TBID has to come up with a recommendation, and there is the final approval by City Council. So right now we're in the TBID phase, here, all this section is the TBID phase. They come up with a final recommendation for City Council. Then around March or April is when we plan on having. So the recommendation will come to by November, December from TBID. If it needs to extend longer, by then it may go into January. But what we're trying to get the recommendation. The reason why we're moving so early. In front of that, because an annual report needs to be produced. This annual report is a report that goes to council with a resolution of intention. And in this report, it says what the boundaries are, who's included in this TBID assessment. So that's what the recommendation needs to be ready for. So by December, January, February, this report will be produced with whatever that recommendation is. And then City Council will have their first meeting in March or April. That's when this annual report, the resolution of intention, and the recommendation is presented to Council. And then the second Council meeting, there will be a public hearing. All property owners that are affected, are potentially affected, would get this public hearing noticed. They would get noticed. And then after listening, City Council then may approve at that time. This procedure is a protest procedure, follows under the negative protest procedure. So it is based on, it's a weighted vote. So how much you put into the assessment equals your voting power. So the more you put into the assessment or potentially would put into assessment would represent your vote. So if you put in a dollar, you get one vote. If you put in $10,000 into the assessment fund, you'd get 10,000 votes. So it's just that's what it's based. It's based on a weighted weighted voting system. So that is this is the breakdown of it. So potentially, right now, hotels are paying into the bid. They're 100%. If vacation rentals and RVs were to pay into the TBID potentially at a and this is at 3%. This is what it would look like. That's the piece of the pie. So, all right. So one of the questions that we received as well is, aren't we already paying into the TBID? We pay the 10%. We pay the 1%. Aren't we okay? I wanted to break this down. That's a great question. It's a very great question. So the answer to that is, there's a 10% that's paid, and that 10% is TOT. And I know the question that we're getting is, well, doesn't that 10% go to tourism? What it goes to, the purpose of that 10% for TOT is used to mitigate the impacts of tourism. So the tourists and visitors, they come to the city, they use the streets, they use the parks, they're expecting clean bathrooms. I know they're not clean all the time, but we're always trying to work on that. So really, general, it's helped to, you know, to really inject the general fund with monies to try to be there for the tourist and try to have things ready. So that's what the 10% is. And then another question, which happened a few years ago, the TMD came up with the 1%. That's a county tourism promotion. So they're on a county level. So they don't directly promote people to come to Morro Bay. They direct they're an umbrella over the county. And so this is where the 3% comes in. Because of that, for this reason, the Tourism Business Improvement District for Morro Bay was created, so that 3% that the hotels are currently paying right now is directly for Morro Bay. So tourism promotions, tourism events, community-wide events, grants for kite festival, triathlon, those creative events that the board will give direction and the staff will implement, that's what the 3% on. So yes, it is 14% collectively what the hotels are paying. So right now what's you know, the question is, do we include, TBID, do we include in our recommendation to City Council to expand TBID to include vacation rentals and RV parks as well? So here, you know, this is one of the questions that have come up from the board and from lodging industries in Morro Bay. Where are we? So hotels pay 3%. What do the other cities pay? So right here we can see that Morro Bay at 3% is one of the highest in the county. Collectively with other levies, you know, the other levies are the TOT and the TMD for the county. So if you look at the total, it's at 14%. The other cities are totaling about 13 and 12. If you look at the TBID rate, Morro Bay is 3%. So one of the highest, and Pismo is at 1%. So this is to kind of help you understand the picture. This isn't just a question of do we include vacation rentals and RV parks. The question is also, if we do include them, at what rate is fair to include them at? So there's a lot of questions going on here. There's a lot of things that this is just really information to present to you. Other TBID levies outside of the county, this is where Morro Bay falls into, that 3%, total 14%. But you can see Carmel, San Diego, Napa Valley, Temecula, Long Beach, out of the sample size, has 15% total. But this kind of helps build a picture of kind of where Morro Bay is. And the question is, where should, if vacation rentals and RV parks were to be included, you know, where should that rate be at? And sorry, Andrew, can you hold on that question?
Okay, right back.
Okay. All right. So this is the 1989 process, and basically, I went over the 1989 process, and TBID comes up with the recommendation, where the TBID is currently under the 1989 law. Once TBID comes up with the recommendation, it's presented to City Council in the first meeting, the annual meeting, with the annual report and resolution of intention. Then the second meeting is a public hearing, and a protest procedure happens. And so that happens at the public hearings, second council meeting. So this is the process. This is some information, and I'll take any questions that you might have. Andrew, I'll get the microphone for you.
So thank you. Could you go back to the T-bid comparison chart showing Morro Bay with the county? Do you mind if I just walk up there and show? So this is if you have a hotel or vacation rental. But if you're an RV park, this is zero, this is zero, and this is zero. Private parks in county jurisdiction do not pay any T-bid. They do not pay TOT. They pay nothing. And Arroyo Grande doesn't charge TOT for their parks, if I remember correctly. So there's no assessment rate there either. So any park in Arroyo Grande city limits for RV parks, this would be zero, this would be zero, and that would be zero. And Pismo Beach does. Santa Maria, don't know about. San Luis Obispo doesn't have any parks. So just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
And Andrew, for those of the people who don't know, let them know.
Yeah, sorry, folks. My name is Andy Hamp, and our family owns Cypress RV and Mobile Home Park up the street here in downtown Morro Bay.
Yeah, I don't own a mobile home park. It's Nick Jurin again, but I want to point out that if we do enact the T-bid for mobile home parks, then they're in direct competition with the state parks, which will not pay the T-bid, correct?
That's correct.
I'm Val Seymour. I'm on the county marketing board, and we do charge the 1% to RV parks. We also charge it to vacation rentals and hotels, so everybody's paying.
No, that's incorrect. Please, I'm sorry to interrupt you, because that's a very important point that causes tons of confusion. Every park, private park, located.
Sorry, Andrew. We need to record that. So let's let Val speak, and then we'll.
I know, that's incorrect.
So Val, finish your point, because
okay,
we want to make sure.
The other point I want to make is that, like you can see, that 2% is charged in most of the county, 2% or less. If we were to include RV parks and also vacation rentals, we could charge 2% across the board to everyone and level the playing field. After all, the hotels are paying for all the marketing for the city of Morro Bay. Let's level the playing field and keep it fair and you know, be straight with each other.
Thank you, Val.
Shirley Paul, and I'm a potential vacation rental owner. I have a question. Why was Cambria and Cayucas not included in this?
I just got this from the Civitas website.
It's the unincorporated bid.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point, but it's important to clarify confusion, because we went all through all this when the county TMD was being assessed. Parks in the county do not pay into the county TMD. So Rancho Colina, a private park, doesn't pay into it. The Vines in Paso Robles, because it's not in the city jurisdiction, doesn't pay into it. Paso RV Ranch doesn't pay into it. The parks in Oceano, because they're in county jurisdiction, do not pay into it. To give you an idea of the magnitudes, there's 36 parks and campgrounds in San Luis Obispo County. Only 10 pay into it. 6 in Morro Bay, 3 in Pismo, 1 in Paso. That should be 10. That's it. And that was a huge unfairness that we were fighting in 2014, 2015. So just want to clarify how the playing field is, because this chart doesn't assess it properly, and it's a difficult, you know, it's a confusing situation.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your comments. I know this is the reason why we're here, to listen. Please share your concerns. Let us know, because the board has to make a recommendation to City Council. They want to make sure they make the right recommendation. So now I'm going to turn over the time to Mary Ann. She's with our she's with Mental Marketing and her team to present the value of TBID. So and the benefits of TBID. So Mary Ann and her team, turn over the time to you. And I'll turn the power.
Good afternoon. So while Iconi gets, oh, well, there it is. That was quick. We've been invited here today. We're the agency of record that works with the T-bid here in Morro Bay, and we perform marketing. I got it right here. We perform marketing strategies. We put together a marketing plan every year, working close with Jennifer and her staff. And we execute that as well, working really closely with Jennifer and her staff. And so today we were invited here to kind of talk about what that looks like in terms of value to not only the people who pay into the TBID, but to our tourism partners along as far as rentals, as far as kayak rentals, as far as all the tourism businesses, restaurants, as well as vacation rentals and RV parks and everyone, really, that because I think the money they spend rises all the boats in the community. And I'll explain a little more about why. The primary goal is to get heads in beds for the people that pay into the TBID. And so how do we do that? The primary goal is to grow destination awareness, grow the awareness of Morro Bay as a vacation destination to specific target audiences that we strategize and come up with every year. And basically, one of the most cost-effective ways that we do that is through our public relations campaign. The public relations campaigns results in third-party endorsements from print, broadcast, bloggers, magazines, social media influencers throughout the Dry Region, throughout California, but also on a national level as well. How does PR work? I think a lot of times people maybe don't understand what happens behind the scenes, that maybe stories that come out about Morro Bay just kind of happen in a vacuum because someone showed up and stumbled upon our great little city. But actually, there is a lot of time and effort and a lot of hard work that goes into making these stories come out in a positive manner and, you know, targeting the audiences that we want to come here, families, adventure seekers, baby boomers, honeymoon couples, and on and on. So this is kind of a life cycle of our PR. Basically, they hired us, Mental Marketing. We have relationships built with travel and lifestyle media. We have probably a database of about 5,000 travel writers and lifestyle writers that we bring, you know, to Morro Bay. And we grow that every month. We have assignments. We pitch the media. We send press releases out. We pitch media on specialty items that separate Morro Bay from our competitive set. The otters, you know, what's happening, what's new in Morro Bay, the Winterfest, this brand new event that's happening right now. And so we come up with angles and story ideas and newsworthy ideas that we then get out to the press. After we do that, we follow up with the media. We're diligent. I've got some pit bulls on my team. They won't let it go. They follow up and follow up and follow up until we get their attention. And then we invite them to come. A lot of times they'll just write stories based on the information we send them, and that's super cost effective. But a lot of times we host media. We invite the media to come. We want them to experience firsthand what's happening here in Morro Bay so that they can see how amazing it is, how unique it is, you know, all the opportunity there is for their audience to learn and reasons why they should come visit. So we'll invite media, then we'll host media. We work closely with Jennifer's team. Jennifer's staff puts together a really great gift basket. They get it into the hotel room, you know, before they arrive. We write a really detailed itinerary for these people. These folks, depending on who their audience is, what their story focus is, you know, we send them out, kayaking, on a boat tour, whale watching, restaurants, dining, wine tasting, family, you know, family stuff, whatever it is. So then we host them, and usually it's a 2 or 3 night stay. And then they go home. We follow up with them. You know, we make sure everything was as what they expected. If something happens mid weekend, you know, we're on call basically all weekend to make sure that everything is running smoothly. Afterwards, we follow up with them and we procure the stories, and then we report out on them. And what we do is we calculate out, okay, depending on the media outlet that ran the story, how many people saw that, or what was the potential readership of that story that month? And so that's kind of the reporting that we do. We also calculate out, if that was an advertisement that we bought in, let's say, Travel and Leisure, how much would that advertisement cost us? And so then we calculate out the advertising value of that third-party endorsement that journalist wrote about our city. So I just want to kind of show you some of the stories that we've generated this past year, and a few of these are from prior years, but I just want to kind of show you the vast array of articles that we are able to generate. So some of this is going to be kind of small, I apologize, but I think I've got a little pointer thing. Okay. So California Metro coverage. So LA Times, a story up here is from the LA Times. Their monthly readership is 72 million people. This was Weekend Escape Morro Bay, anchored to Rock. If you could kind of look here, actually here, let me just go down here. And then San Jose Mercury News, you know, 3-hour drive market, 4-hour drive market. We've got these, you know, 10 million people, 10 million potential eyes on a story about Morro Bay from the San Jose area. If you look right here, I know it's super small, but these are numbers calculating how many times the stories are shared on social media. And so we kind of look at that as syndicated social media shares. So this story right here was shared 800 times by readers of the LA Times. So not only are we getting this, you know, 72 million eyes here and 10 million eyes here, they're sharing with their friends, and their friends are sharing with their friends. That's two examples. Here we also have Santa Rosa Press Democrat, an article about Morro Bay. That's about an hour north of San Francisco. Again, a million eyes there. SF Gate, this is the online paper for San Francisco Chronicle, 40 million eyes. This just came out like last week. Santa Barbara Independent, you know, their entertainment guide, kind of like our New Times. 322,000 eyes every month, you know, read these stories. So that's just kind of an idea of some of the dailies that we actually have relationships with that we land these stories in. Here's some broadcasts that we've recently had come out. Morro Bay, we gave away a weekend in Morro Bay on KTLA, on the news, on the morning news show KTLA. This is their online exposure, almost 6 million a month. Every month, look at their website. That's not to mention the 200,000 people that watch the news program in the morning that saw it live, right? Dine Out around here on the bottom left. This was a 30-minute program that we worked with this group. This was a production company, actually, and they have close ties with the Fresno Bee and Fox channel in Fresno. Every Saturday morning, their program airs. So we got a half-hour segment that ran in Fresno a couple months back. Whatever that says, again, it's too small and I'm too blind. But and then down here, this was Bakersfield news channel that covered the otter story that came out. So that's just some broadcast samples. Bloggers, the Daily Meal. We just had a gentleman come that's 2 million eyes. He came and we hosted him, and he wrote a great story. And look at all the shares, all the social media shares right here. This right here, we hosted this journalist. She writes for Rally. It's the Eventbrite, which everybody's familiar with, the Eventbrite, the online event, you know, management tool. Well, Rally is their blog site, and they get 34 million views a month. This right here, she not only wrote one story for us, she a couple months later did a roundup, 15 quaint and quirky small towns in Southern California. She included us in that because we hosted her here, and she had a fantastic time, and it was memorable. And so, you know what? I'm going to include them in a roundup of stories 3 months later. So we got two great stories. That month, 40 million people went to their website. And then over here, this is an older story, but Forbes travel guide blog. Forbes came and we hosted them a couple years back. So just to show the magnitude of bloggers and the value of us going after this media and working hard and developing these relationships. I think I'm going backwards. Backwards? Forwards? Forwards? There we go. Online print magazines. These are really some high-profile print magazines. A lot of magazines are going online, of course. Sometimes we'll get these articles online, posted online. A lot of times, well, I should say sometimes it actually gets into the print publication. But these are some examples of some that we've had online. So this is Budget Travel. There's some big numbers there. Sunset Magazine, everyone's familiar with. And this is Country Living Magazine, and this is an interesting scenario here, which we are constantly looking to flesh out, is opportunities where we'll work with one magazine who has relationships with other magazines, and then they pick up that exact same article in some of these other magazines. So at the top there, you can see we got the article in Country Living Magazine. You know, I think that says 2.5 million or something. I don't know my eyes. Again, I'm kind of blind. Then Good Housekeeping picked it up, the exact same story. Their readership online is 8 million something. And then House Beautiful magazine picked it up as well. So the effort that we did to get this one story actually tripled just based on the relationships that we have and that they have with other writers as well. This was some recent press we got for the Avocado Margarita Festival. Travel Leisure, huge. 8 million online viewers a month, every month, go to this website. We got this story shared, I don't know, I think that was like 200 times or something. Then Smithsonian Magazine picked it up as well. Exact same story, picked it up, ran it online for them, 10 million viewers. Look at all the shares down here of this story. And I know Avocado Margarita Festival was huge this year. And yeah, congratulations to them. And then this right here, Simple Most is an online magazine, and this was a roundup of 11 small and unique towns that you need to visit this year. So we kind of, you know, we were able to get us in that kind of category there. Social media influencers, we bring in people. This was It's a Lovely Life. This was a family. She came down. She's a blogger down in L.A. She has 400,000 viewers. You know, moms. This is a specifically targeted kind of niche blog. She's a family travel writer, so who are her followers are moms. You know, they're making the travel plans. She brings her whole family. They do a video paddleboarding on the bay. This was seen several thousand times. Road tripping to Morro Bay. This was a video they did on their way here that they posted on YouTube, and then this is their blog here. And you can see here again, like, how many times it was syndicated on social media outlets. And then this was Matador we brought to town. And that was actually the Oyster Festival in Avila, but he kept talking about oysters from Morro Bay the whole time, which was great. So we'll take it. And then this last slide here is event coverage. So we really go, we're out there, we're pitching all the events that are taking place in town. We're trying to grow the numbers of people that are aware of these really cool and unique coastal events that are taking place in our hamlet here. You know, you can see we got coverage on the Morro Bay citywide yard sale, which is hugely popular and so unique. I don't know many towns that do that. You know, the Kite Festival. You know, we have relationships with Westways and 805 Living, so we often get listings there. This was a bird festival write-up, but you can see, and these worth the trip, Bay Area and L.A., worth the trip, worth the drive, probably drive 1 to 2 million a month viewership. So that's the kind of exposure that we're getting for Morro Bay to grow awareness. So we're behind the scenes, and we're working hard to make sure that you guys are all getting on the map so that tourism is growing and heads and beds are growing. And how does that all kind of equate as far as a benefit? So current benefits value is $90,000, basically. That's what the annual program costs. For us to have this kind of success. So PR management, what we went over before, that's annually is $60,000. That's for our team and our staff and getting out press releases, you know, all of the media relations, all the hosting, all the itinerary development, everything. Media hosting costs, about $20,000 for 20 visiting journalists. So what we do is we average about, costs about $1,000 to host a journalist. You know, some people are less expensive, some people are more expensive, you know, some if we're hosting a family of four versus, you know, a couple or something, that usually kind of balances out. And we host between 20 and 25 a year, so 20,000 is about right there. And then attendance at regional and national media events, about 10,000 a year, depending on how many shows we go to. But our staff, our mental staff, goes to pre-organized events like Visit California will do a media event in San Francisco, and they'll invite 50 to 100 media who write in that region. And so then we go, and we have a representative there, and we get to go to one place, and we have the potential opportunity to meet with 50 to 100 different travel writers. So we do that at several different shows a year, you know, developing more relationships and pitching more Bay at every turn. So that's basically the current benefit that everybody in town receives, but yet the hotels are the ones paying for it. So benefits of joining the TBID. So basically, daily management of Morro Bay Tourism social media. The social media pages that Morro Bay manages is about 75,000 followers from, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth. The current value of that is $36,000. So about $3,000 a month we spend on managing all the pages, but that also includes hard media costs like for ad campaigns and stuff like that on social media. But as of joining, day one, if the board recommends to, you know, have RVs and vacation rentals join, basically our strategy would change to start including posts in social media that include RV and vacation rental topics and, you know, mentions and, you know, stuff that would drive people to those two lodging options here in Morro Bay. We would also do advertising programs, and then we would drive all of that, you know, all of that traffic to the MorroBay.org website to, you know, those pages that cover all the vacation rentals and the RVs. Another benefit of joining, as of, you know, day one you join, you'd be part of the ongoing destination campaigns. So, for example, we have a current passport program that starts November 1st, where all the hotels get a passport filled with free items. If you stay in a hotel, kids get free chowder, free kite, a free tour, you know, a subsea tour, stuff like that. And Jennifer's office manages that program. They reach out to all the tourism partners in town. They say, hey, who wants to be part of this program? We're going to drive people to your business. And then they print out actual hard, you know, passports, and then they deliver them to all the hotels. And, you know, it's a perk of being part of the TBID and paying into it. And then we promote the program as the agency of record. Then we promote that program out of market, so in our drive markets east and south of us. Tourism partnerships, inclusion. So Visit California, we work with them all the time. They have PR companies and sales agencies in, internationally. They have international offices that we work with, that we send them pitches all the time about what's going on in Morro Bay, what's new, what's happening with the hotels, and so forth. Jennifer sits on the Central Coast Tourism Council, which is a regional tourism body that is affiliated with Visit California, but focuses on getting tourists from Santa Cruz down to, you know, Ventura. Jennifer sits on that board and represents Morro Bay. And then SloCal, of course, is the county. So if you kind of see this, it's like statewide Visit California, then regionally is Central Coast Tourism Council, and then SloCal is the county representative. And Jennifer also sits on the marketing committee on that with them. And then, of course, the TBID is the local promotional entity. And then the other perk would be free trolley to RV parks, you know, because they do now have a program. And is that seasonal, Jen, the RV, the trolley? I'm not sure if that was year-round yet. Just seasonal, where it's free to all the hotels in the high season. So that's benefits of joining. Long-term growth, long-term benefits would be inclusion in public relations outreach. So we would do niche, you know, we would go after that niche media. We would go after those travel writers that are writing for RV magazines and journals, that are writing for vacation rental publications or stories with those topics, bloggers from HomeAway, bloggers from, you know, Airbnb. There's a whole set of strategies that we could put together that would focus specifically on your types of lodging properties. And then we could host media at RV parks. We can host media at the vacation rentals. We, you know, pitch story ideas and do press releases that showcase your properties. So there are, you know, strategies that we can incorporate that we don't currently incorporate because you guys aren't paying into the bid, basically. So destination campaigns, specific vacation rental and RV park digital advertising campaigns. I brought a case study, Mark. My colleague is going to talk about that on the next slide here. But destination campaigns, so passports that support RV and VR visitors. You know, maybe something specific to, you know, the needs and the likes of your clientele. More Bay tourism blogs about RV and VR. We have a great blog. Jen's Shannon on Jen's staff is an amazing writer, and she's doing a great job, and that blog is really going off on the website. And then, of course, support Morbay tourism events with RV and vacation rental focus. It would be another you know, strategy that we could flesh out. So I know it's a lot of information to take in, but I do have a case study that I'd like to have Mark Elterman come up and talk about another client that we have that actually does have vacation rentals along with lodging properties. And we thought, well, you know what, we'll just share a success story about a campaign that we did. So here you go. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Marianne. Hey, everybody. My name is Mark Elterman, also with Marianne. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I manage and help set up a number of initiatives for the San Luis Obispo County unincorporated region. Now, that particular organization passed a tourism business improvement district roughly 8 or so years ago, representing the unincorporated coastal region of this area, and is, to clarify, separate from the recently passed countywide TMD. Now, we recognize that, you know, we've been working with destinations for many years, and that there are so many TMDs, CBIDs, TBIDs, all funded and also representing a different swath of constituency, and we recognize that it could be a little bit confusing, and in some cases somewhat, controversial as to the benefits of those organizations. They hire us to make sure that everybody that is paying into those systems are getting direct benefit. So now the unincorporated coastal region, we branded as the Highway 1 Discovery Route. That is a 2% assessment that is collected by the county, and they have a 7-member board that also has vacation rentals on that board. In addition to that, each of the regions, such as Cambria, Cayucas, Los Osos, they have a local board that also takes half of their funds and they spend it on whatever local initiatives they really want to do with it. Tends to be more event-driven, okay? Anyways, the actual constituency represents about 80, 90 hoteliers, bed and breakfasts, motels, as well as about 800 vacation rentals. There are no RV parks within that constituency, okay? So, and actually we probably may have a couple vacation management owners that actually do have properties in this region. Any of you have properties in unincorporated Cambria? Okay, so you're already paying into that and your properties are represented on their websites. Well, what do? We do everything like what Marianne just described as public relations, earned media, owned media, blogging, a lot of advertising campaigns in order to raise the awareness of this stretch of Highway 1. Okay? Now, this particular case study represents last spring where we decided, okay, this region has not been effectively promoting family reunions. Family reunions are fantastic for this region, longer stays, they're spending more monies, and we need to, at the very least, position our region as a player in that. We have great properties, great vacation rentals for that. So we launched Together Again. Together Again is a 90-day campaign, March through May. We're promoting multi-generational vacations, still with our core drive market of L.A., San Francisco, and Central Valley, and with a promotion designed to get a lot of folks to our social media and get us their emails, okay? Obviously, a really nice promotion, $5,000 for the getaway. The whole message is that every generation has a story to tell. Come here with your family and make new memories and tell your own here at on the Discovery Route. What we had to do is we had to create a lot of assets. We created our own little video of a vacationing family. It was very, very well received. It included ads, digital blogs, press releases, all of the combined assets needed to pull off a really good integrated campaign. Don't know what happened there. Okay. So this particular campaign, funded by the CBID, cost about $100,000 in paid media. We also had to spend a little money, of course, in creating the assets. We delivered over 37 million impressions through certain channels that we wouldn't necessarily always use. For instance, HomeAway and Airbnb, a particularly effective channel for us. Some other digital platforms like Quantcast, a lot of social media here. Monthly press releases went out, blogs, as I mentioned, YouTube and Outbrain videos. Again, really representing the idea that, hey, if you're going to come here with your family, you're going to have a wonderful time. All right, so the campaign itself represented, probably numerically for this region, one of the most successful that I can recall. 62,000 clicks to the website increased our newsletter subscriptions more than 100%. The 90-day website sessions increased over 40%, drove the largest monthly traffic in this organization's history. And the digital assets showing family reunions and vacation rentals also became available to the constituency. The constituency, whether you're a vacation rental owner, hotelier, you're always available to those assets, the photos, the videos, anything you want. Okay, so that represented a really great program. We recognize that vacation rental operators aren't necessarily the same as our hoteliers, but they are clearly thrilled for the most part in terms of where their numbers are headed. They're getting a heck of a lot of exposure. The folks that are sitting on the board, I know you're not, they're real happy, okay? That particular website, however, is not it's a destination inspirational website. It's not a booking engine. It never has been. So that's something we're not going to try to advocate you do this here in Morro Bay, but this is a representative of how you can have a collective theme, if you will, and make it very successful for all operators. Okay, so questions? Oh, turn it over. Questions?
I'm just not that familiar with Mental Marketing Infinite Solutions. It sounds like you represent a lot of different communities and agencies.
We do,
indeed.
Do you
know how many you represent?
We do, indeed. Over the past several years, we've represented here locally the county, obviously. Morro Bay, we've worked for Paso Robles in helping them set up their tourism district many years ago. Oh, gosh. And also, we have served some of those individual boards that I described in the unincorporated county, helping them get organized for their marketing effort, like Los Osos, San Simeon, et cetera. Done a lot of work in San Francisco, L.A., Redding and Shasta Cascades. So we have a pretty good background of not just this area, but also working for operators as well.
So you're all over. Where are you located? Where's your office?
Atascadero.
Atascadero.
And we're here probably more than Atascadero.
Okay, thank you.
But the basis of their business is tourism, yeah. Branding, marketing is their basis.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, what the presentations are lacking here, I see, is the results. I would have liked to see spreadsheets showing similar communities to ours without this type of marketing. To me, this is very fuzzy, and there's no really definable results. Mm-hmm. So if you showed us a town like ours, you know, there's, like in our industries, especially vacation rental, the trajectory is enormous. Mm-hmm. So Our gains are attributable to the marketplace in general, not to any marketing for the most part.
Well, I'll disagree with that because every destination has to establish an awareness level that's going to compete with another destination. If you're not promoting yourself, you're getting your clock cleaned by competitors, as you saw, that are very well funded. Nevertheless, we're not here to advocate or even show you specific numbers of bookings, because a lot of that we don't have. That's really up to the destinations that do that. And also, each has its own constituency model, right? Some have vacation rentals and RVs, some do not, right? So if we were to kind of dig that deep, yeah, we could probably come up with it, but it's not our role here to try to convince you either way.
You know, I understand it's data you can easily get. You have the TOT numbers, mm-hmm. and the other locations have TOT numbers.
Yeah.
So crunching numbers, it's probably a one-day exercise to really show definable results.
Sure.
With all this type of fuzzy marketing, which is what I'll call it, you know, I can show definable results against my advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really challenge you and your company to show that to the city in general.
Well, that's actually something that the city does generate on a routine basis. They report, I believe, to this board and the board to you consistently, whether it be a quarter, annually, semi-annual basis, those TOT figures. The county does the same thing. So that particular case history, yeah, we show trajectory of TOT. However, keep in mind, and your assessment is somewhat accurate in that TOT is affected by a whole lot more than a single case. Campaign.
And we present them monthly, Mark,
yeah.
And we also show the competitive set in our market.
Yeah. I mean, weather is also, and Highway 1 closures, those are things that do affect TOT, absolutely. So whether you think it's fuzzy or not, you have to do this. You have to promote this region and the benefits of coming to this region, or you're simply going to displace your market that's going to go somewhere else.
If your vacation rental house is located here in Morro Bay, however, the rental agency is in Cayucas, how then do you promote my property?
We promote the properties that are assessed in each region. Like, for instance, we do actually, for unincorporated region, that strip of the strand right over here, there's at least five or six vacation rental properties on that strand that are also included in unincorporated. Okay, so it's not determined by where the management company is, it's determined by where the property is located. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, but then why would you then promote my agency that's in Cayucas in the unincorporated area? Mm-hmm. But it's handling my house here.
Well, the reason being is that agency probably handles 30, 40 properties, right?
I think
it
we're
might.
Getting it confused, though.
Yeah.
So Mark does not manage our account, just so you know.
No.
He manages the unincorporated bid, which is Cayucas, Cambria,
right.
Avila Beach, Los Osos. It is not Morro Bay.
Right.
So Marianne manages Morro Bay, and she would only be promoting Morro Bay-based homes or hotels or whatever it is.
Yeah, okay.
You mentioned that some of the stuff you developed through this campaign was available to everybody.
Absolutely.
How do you get a hold of it?
All of our assets are available. What we did is we put together a portal. It's called a member section on the website that gives specific instructions on any of our constituency. And keep in mind, that's a pretty big one. There's 800 properties, right? So they're able to go in and update their information, pull down photos. They can pull down beautiful photos of the area, also video assets. And anything that they struggle with, they can always call me, and I'll walk them through it.
And again, that's for the unincorporated bid,
just
not
the unincorporated region. Yeah.
As far as photos, sure. We publish it every month, and our TOT report is on the TBID agendas, and it's also on the city website under Document Center. You can find the yearly comparison year over year as well. And if you want to grab my business card, I'd be glad to email it to you.
Yeah. And same here. If anybody has any further questions about what's happening unincorporated region, feel free. I'm marketmentalmarketing.com, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
One more thing that I just want to mention. I know, Nick, you said fuzzy marketing, which makes my skin crawl, because when we show placed media that is not paid for media, so we have not paid Travel and Leisure $100,000 for that article on avocado margarita. They made a decision on their own to publish that. And that value, there's nothing fuzzy about it. It's a pay, it's a placed media that we did not pay for. So that's, PR is different. And so when you look at value of marketing advertising, when you have PR dollars that are spent, people gravitate towards that before they gravitate towards a paid ad. That's just human nature.
You know, what I mean about fuzzy marketing, I can spend an advertising dollar and I can tell you exactly how much money it made me. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, this is fuzzy marketing. Mm-hmm. There's a value of the advertising, how much that would cost. Mm-hmm. That's great. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Whether it brought even one additional night of revenue to me is fuzzy. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's fuzzy marketing. That's fuzzy advertising. Mm-hmm. Unless you can quantify the results. Mm-hmm. And I'm privy to the numbers and I don't see a lot of movement in the results.
So I hear what you're saying, and it is the quintessential quandary when it comes to marketing at the level that we're talking about here versus you at the property level. You know exactly how much you're spending. You know exactly how many rooms you're booking. And so, yes, you can quantify that, and you can actually get the number, you know, point, you know, with three decimal points if you have that information. We don't. So that's why there's kind of a funnel, a marketing funnel, if you will, starting at the United States, USA Today, USA Brand USA. They market internationally. They market the United States. At the state level, Visit California spends over $50 million a year marketing California to, internationally as well. The regional marketing agency, or the Central Coast Tourism Council, markets the regional brand from Santa Cruz down to Ventura. The county, spends $2 million now that they have to market and bring people to the county. And then you come down one more concentric circle, and that is to the city, which is all that marketing we just went through. The next circle is you. You have the privilege of having that information. We don't have that quantifiable information. But we can watch how many people are going to the website. We can quantify, like Jen said, you know, the millions of dollars of advertising value that we get out of the PR stories that we get. We can quantify how many people we reach each month on social media. So we have statistics that we can show. But the piece that's missing, and it's not just in this industry, it's in a lot of industries, is how that actually connects to that specific room night. That just doesn't exist. We don't have that data. And so, I understand what you're saying. I really do. But there's no way of calculating that out. And the best we can do is share results on a monthly basis on benchmarks that the board of directors has agreed to, that we presented and say, okay, this is how we're going to measure the marketing that we do. And these are the stats that we're going to provide for you. And this is how we're going to measure year over year over year how we're increasing people to the website, how we're increasing, you know, the TOT and awareness of the community. And so I hope that clears up a little bit of, you know, basically we can't give you exactly what you want, but it doesn't mean that there's no value. So that's all.
Yeah, so just a few more comments, and then we'll go into public comment, actually. Okay. So.
Okay, it's on, right? My name's Chuck Close, and it would seem that...
Hello, sir. Okay, thank you.
It would seem that you could take your investment dollars, which you had very precisely specified, and your TOT taxes, which you know very precisely, and you can see whether an investment here results in a reward on the TOT. Don't you have those two numbers?
Yes, we do, but again, TOT is not determined by one campaign. TOT is determined by a lot of things.
I understand that, but I mean, yeah. at the city level, you can see it. You can invest in the city, and you can see the difference in TOT.
Yeah,
you're correct, sir. And so last year, TOT grew 5.8% for the year, so we do see that growth.
Yeah. Andrew, last comment, and then we'll go to public comments.
Yeah, you know, that's the dilemma with marketing. I think Henry Ford said that half of my marketing budget is wasted, but I don't know which half. But, you know, in terms of the RV park, it's a very valid question. $67,000, a 3% assessment, there is no way we get a value out of that. No way. Even the $22,000 we paid to the county, 1%, you know, it has been no measurable benefit for the RV park. And we always have this argument. We had it when the county was, well, you know, you're a freeloader if you don't pay in. So I looked at some past data from when there was a recession, comparing the TOT receipts of the RV parks, comparing the TOT receipts of the motels. And the motels had significant drops. That was way before the TMD. That was way before the Morro Bay T-bid. So you can't attribute anything that they were doing to those results. And the RV parks, they grew during that time period. In one time period, that was flat. And I think that was the year Doug had to close for 3 years to redo some to do some infrastructure here at Morro Dunes. So in terms of the RV parks are concerned, I don't think you can ever tell us how many RVs all this marketing would give us, but I would very, very doubt that it would do 1,500 RVs just to break even at 67,000 at 3% if you follow my numbers. There's just no way, and I'll just say it in hell, that would pencil out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. This is the reason why we're here. We want to hear from the stakeholders. So right now it's time for public comment. Just by a raise of hands, we want to, we noticed that this would be done at 2:30. Can you just show me if you want to do public comment, and then we'll kind of do the math on what we should allocate on times. Raise it. Feel free. I mean, it's free. Public comment is free. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. All right. So I'm averaging about 10. Okay. So 3 minutes of public comment. We should be fine with that. Really what's going to happen, public comment, and then we'll have the, after the board, we'll then give direction to staff on kind of the way ahead after that, what's going to happen in November, December, and kind of the process and respond through staff. All right. So just when you come up, there's a 3 minute, there will be a timer here by our deputy city clerk. When you hear that beep, can you just be aware of the time, and if you could just close and just let the other person on, introduce yourself, your name, and that's about it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Igani.
And good afternoon. My name is Chuck Close, and we have a property at the end of Beachcomber that we've been vacation renting for now for about 15 years or more. One of my first questions is, how does the decision of this board get made to the city? I mean, is it by voting of all the participants in this possible, like the 250 vacation rentals? Do they get a vote? Do the RV parks get a vote? Or is that something so that's a question. It suggests that participation in this tax district is voluntary. But I think once this thing is formed, it's not voluntary. Everybody goes, nobody goes. Is that correct?
Jen?
Yeah. Chuck, we'll respond.
Okay.
We'll respond at the end, though. And some of these questions are best reserved for staff. They'll answer. We want a dialogue.
So I'm assuming we do our vacation rentals now through VRBO. And it's been a very effective tool. We actually have more renters than we have property. So this thing is not going to add a lot of value to me personally. It may to others. But anyway, the question I have is, if there was a website, a city website, I'm assuming I could put a URL in there that would direct it to the VRBO site, or I would either have that, or I'd have to build my own website to advertise my property. So I'm just trying to get clarification on that. I think that's about it. So I'll let the rest of my time go.
Okay. Why don't we address these issues one at a time as they come up then, and keep the conversation, because I appreciate it's harder to circle back around and comprehend a response 20 minutes later. Seem appropriate? So one piece at a time. You're in a good place to be. If you have more guests than you have vacancies at the moment. That's an outstanding place. It does give the opportunity then to drive rate and cause a little more compression for your property, and that's something that we all want. Connie?
I'll respond.
Excuse me?
I'll respond to them.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. So go ahead, Chair.
Okay. And then as far as the integration of the website, that's also a good logistical question, very fair. How would this actually play out? And Ikani here can respond to some of those details.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Graves. So I'm hearing two questions. One of the questions was, what's the process? How is this approved? Recommendation to TBID. There's a recommendation that TBID has to finalize, and this is kind of the process. You know, a town hall meeting is to get your input. Ultimately, in November, December, maybe January, there's a recommendation that TBID makes, whether it's to include vacation rentals and or RV parks. That recommendation is made, then it goes to City Council. City Council has two meetings. There's the first meeting where the recommendation is presented with the annual report and the resolution of intention. The second meeting is a public hearing after that, and that's where you will then, all the stakeholders will be able to share their thoughts, and it's a protest procedure. So majority of those, the majority of those that pay into the assessment fund could turn it over if they vote against it. If the protest fails, then the council has the opportunity to, they may approve the recommendation. But TBID may modify or deny that point. Yeah, and TBID would make that recommendation of what that percentage is as well. So that's always there.
There is some place in the process where the individual property owners can say yay or nay.
So the question from, is it Chuck?
Yeah.
The question from Chuck is, there is in the process where the stakeholders can say yay or nay. That is correct. They could say yay or nay at these TBID meetings, but also at the public hearing at City Council as well.
Just to be clear, I'm not sure what the intent of the question was, but if majority of the entities that are involved with the assessment, the businesses that are involved with the assessment, whether it's hoteliers or RVs owners or park owners and vacation rental owners, if the percentage of them, if 51% of them does not protest, even if one individual business, an RV park or a vacation rental, doesn't want to be involved, they have to be involved.
That's correct.
One other point of clarification. On the board up here, my understanding from meeting with Deputy City Attorney and the City Attorney and Deputy City Manager today was that hoteliers on the board can vote for a recommendation that impacts hotels or vacation rentals. But vacation rental owners on this board cannot vote for an issue that pertains to vacation rentals.
You want to take the other part of the question? Okay.
Rich Bouquet, City of Morro Bay. We have a vacation rental at our home. We have a little small cottage behind our house, and my wife and I live on the property. I guess I want to expand a little bit more of what Joe and you were saying. I thought this was kind of like a 218, where the people that are subject to being brought into the entity would be the ones voting to see whether we wanted to be in or not. If you go by what, if you're saying is correct and I'm wrong, then that pie that was previously shown shows that disproportionately we're going to lose, period. And I'm not saying I'm against it. I feel the inequity with the hoteliers paying the whole freight here. I understand that and I get that. But I'm a little confused on that part of, with that pie, we're just a very small slice. So we might as well just go home and say, okay, when do we start paying? That's what I'm hearing. So the other thing I want to know is on the budget, I think I talked to Scott, and let's see if I'm accurate, but I think the TOT is about $750,000. something like that. Anyway, let's just go with that and see if I'm off or not, but when I was talking to him a few months ago. So that's 10%. So 3% would be an additional $225,000 that would be given to TBID. So I'm guessing that you don't have to, you're not given a report to council till December or January, that you wouldn't have a budget proposal for that extra $225,000 yet. But I'd be curious to see if there'd be new line items on that $225,000 or your overall budget that would show monies that are going specifically to vacation rentals, RVs, et cetera, or not, or if it's just going to be a lump sum budget like other city budgets where the money is distributed as you see fit. So that's my two questions there. Thanks.
Aaron, I make a recommendation.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll chat down. We'll jot down the questions, and then at the end, we'll kind of go.
You don't want. Okay.
Yeah, because they may have the same questions.
So I'm Nick Jurin. I'm part owner of Beach and Bay Getaways and New Relax Vacation Rentals. My wife Maggie sits on the board here. She's not going to be allowed to vote. So interesting that only the hotelers get to vote whether to include vacation rentals. Right off the bat, we have a question of how legally you can include us in a TBID that was formed by a where we were excluded in the past as a class. So we do take exception to that. We feel that we should be voting as a class whether to be included in this TBID or not, or whether we should form our own TBID at a different amount. So we do question the legality of this, and we really recommend that the city explore this, because if it is enacted, we're going to take exception. we currently manage 33 homes in Morro Bay. And by my calculations just yesterday, we pay over 30% of the TOT of all the vacation rentals. So, and you can go and check my numbers. So, and we're kind of unique because we also manage a hotel under the city law. And the only reason that is, it's really not a hotel. There's no daily maid service, but it's on city property, so we pay the 14%. We never take a single day reservation. We never get a walk-in, even though we're a hotel and we're on these sites. I haven't seen any incremental value in my bookings, even when we layer in these extraordinary promotions. We consider ourselves a very high quality and community aware operator. You know, our business in total with 50 vacation rentals, the rest all in the county, are the equivalent of us running a 200 room hotel, if you look at the metrics, just to give you an idea of the scope of what we do. We already pay $151,000 in taxes, and that's the year ending in in September. So looking back a year, because our business has grown, so $151,000 in taxes ending in September. This proposal, you're asking us to put on our guests another burden of $52,000. And I understand you're trying to raise the hotelers, the average stay, but to get to two nights, we're almost at five. We get most of our bookings 60 days or more in advance. We never get a walk-in, never, okay? And we're probably 30% booked for next summer. People don't need to find us. So you're asking our average guest to pay $45 more on every reservation they make with us. And we're already on their radar. They're not going to be happy about that. Our current advertising budget that we derive 70% of our bookings from, in total, for all the properties we manage in Morro Bay, is about $12,000. And I can show you that we get 70% of our results. So I just don't see it. I think it's unfair, and we're being railroaded. It's just not fair. And to conclude, we would support a 1% program. We think that's reasonable. And you really need to take a look in the mirror, the hotelers. What are you offering? Look at the projects in Pismo, in the city of San Luis, in Paso Robles. That's what people want. They want luxury accommodations with amenities. That's what we offer. That's why we're so successful.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Okay, and can I
conclude with one last comment? You know, and it's a nice saying, it's crazy as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, crazier is doing more of the same thing and expecting different results.
Thank you.
So that's
it.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chair, just with all due respect, since we have a time limit, we really need to stick to the time limit, because then it's not fair if some people go over and some people don't. So we really need to stick to the time limit.
Appreciate what you're saying. Thank you.
Hello, Robert Elzer. I'm a co-owner and manager of Urlax Vacation Rentals. The T-Bid program is presented as benefiting tourism in general in Morro Bay. Our position is that the overall effect will actually be detrimental to our business. I understand that there is going to be some positive effect from these different marketing campaigns, but with the increased cost to guests, which Nick partially outlined and I'll go over, we think that's going to, of course, have a detrimental effect on our income, our owner's income, and also the city TOT. We have, you know, if the T-Bid goes into effect at 3%, I mean, as the chart shows, we're going to have one of the highest effective rates to the guests. The guest just sees the total tax rate. They don't care what the breakdown is. At 14%, it's going to be higher than almost all our competitors. We're going to be less competitive. I think it's unreasonable to force us as a class of business into a marketing program that we believe is detrimental, we'll have pretty little say in its implementation. We also feel like, you know, basically this benefits a few larger operators who are effectively just pushing their marketing budget on a much broader base of operators. I do understand that there is going to be some benefit of the marketing program to us, and this is kind of to address the remark that we're getting a free ride on that marketing. But we also pay for advertising that I know full well benefits other businesses. You know, our paid advertising might benefit restaurants, shops, other operators, but we're not going to those operators and saying, come share in our marketing costs. That's just, it's our cost to bear. The cost to guests is very high. I mean, it might look very low for hotels with single night or two night rentals, but with us, it could easily be $40 or more per reservation. The total cost just to my company collected by the guest easily could get up to $20,000 a year. That's much higher than our inherent advertising budget. We already had the discussion on return on investment, and we kind of got the answer that there is no way to measure what the actual return is. We get a lot of numbers, you know, views, clicks, whatnot, but there is no information on what that money is actually going to provide in incremental bookings to us that we otherwise would not have achieved. You know, there are so many different advertising districts now. We've got the county one, we've got the coastal one. Obviously, there's higher level one, state, and whatnot. I mean, there's always beneficial effect of all these. There's just one more on top of it. My honest opinion is that the T-Bid is probably not needed for our area, considering just the natural attractiveness of the destination to guests. And if it was going to go into effect, I think the absolute max should be 1%. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
My name is Diane Buquet, married to Rich Buquet. We have the vacation rental on our property behind the house that we live in. We use Airbnb and VRBO to advertise, and we don't need any more business. We turn business away. We try very hard to be good neighbors, and we don't advertise on these sites what our exact address is. We're not required to. We don't want people to know our exact address until they have reserved our place. They can see on a map a little circle of the neighborhood that we're in, and that's good enough for them to know if they want to reserve in our area or in another area of town. We don't want people driving by and gawking at our house. If we were to be in the T-Bid, I looked today at the website and I see every hotel has a little spot marked where they're located. And I'm assuming you would do that to the Airbnbs, and we don't want people to know where we're at. We don't want the public to see ours and probably every other vacation rental location. We're very careful to not let our guests ever park on the street. They have to park in our driveway. You drive down our street, you would never know there was a vacation rental there. And we live there, so we keep it very quiet. We blink the lights. We let people know if they're too loud at night, and we're proud of that. And we let people know on our website that if you're here to party, find another place. So we really would probably refuse to have our listing listed on your site if all the vacation rentals were taken into part of the process. We would refuse. We have enough business. We don't need it. And we want our privacy. So I would urge you not to include vacation rentals in this. The reason we go through these sites also is because we have protection. We have insurance through Airbnb. We have arbitration. We can vet our guests. We can read their reviews. We can see if we want them to rent from us. Hoteliers probably can't do much of that. So we have the option to accept a reservation or not. That's huge to us. So I just urge you to consider the vacation rental owner's privacy and some of their desires and the fact that we don't really need the extra advertising to book our place. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment? Feel free. Come on up.
Ian Starkey, owner of Rockstar Properties. I manage about 15 vacation rentals here in the city of Morro Bay. I'm not here to, you know, sway one way. I've heard all the marketing, advertising spiel. I agree with some and disagree with others. My biggest comment or biggest input is how it's being implemented and how we're being asked to be part of it. Essentially, we don't have say as vacation rental owners, managers, or RV parks of joining or not joining. My personal thought or opinion there is I think there is benefit and pros to the marketing that is being done, but let the vacation rentals and RV parks come and join in and have us decide as a group if we want to be a part of it and continue part of it. Or my other thought is have the RV parks and vacation rentals make their own T-bid or their own group and have part of that money going to a general overall cause for both RV parks and hotels, because there is definite argument and pro that we are benefiting possibly in some way from it, but not having a say to join is the hardest part to tell owners and managers. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Starkey.
I'm Don Double D, Morro Bay. My daughter Rebecca and I have a single vacation rental. I wasn't going to get up and talk, but I agree with the young lady that spoke just before the previous speaker. We're using Airbnb, and we got all the marketing, everything we need with that. We have a list of people waiting. We charge about $1,000 is what we make per month for rental, so we're talking about $30 a month or $360 a year. And I could see a better way for us to invest $360 as far as promoting ourselves. We don't need it. We want the privacy. We really don't want to be listed anyplace else. So, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Again, Val Seymour. I'm on the County Marketing Board, and I do have a hotel here in town. It seems like maybe we need a better presentation from the TBID itself and also from the county as far as what our achievements we have done. It was pretty general, and I think we got to be more specific than that. And I know that we can with the county because we have all the numbers. We get them every month at the meeting. Right, Aaron? We get them. So I think before you go any further with this, because this is kind of how it started years ago when we started the TBID. I was on the TBID board. And it was like pulling teeth to get hotels to buy in. Well, the vacation rentals don't see a personal value to this. They're not looking at the big picture about how Morro Bay is benefiting from this and in the big picture. So I think that's what you need to look at. And you know, the county does international marketing. Huge. I think we get tons of value from the marketing board. I've never been on a board like this before. The county is, they're very effective, they're very professional, they treat everybody very professionally. I'm proud of being on the board. So I think there's a different way this needs to be presented to people so they're going to be more comfortable with it and understand exactly what you do and what the county does. You know, if you're going to get them to buy in, you got to do a better job of marketing yourself. Okay, thanks. Oh, one more thing. Airbnb is now charging the taxes in the county to the unincorporated properties. It was agreed upon through the county marketing, to assess the Airbnb properties. So they're buying in, and that is huge, that they are actually putting it on the website. When someone makes a reservation, they got to pay. You know, they pay that marketing. And VRBO has done it for a long time. I applaud them for that. But finally, Airbnb has come around.
Thank you, Val.
Good afternoon. Happy summer. My name is Joan Solu, and I own a very, very nice hotel here in town with wonderful amenities and terrific views of the bay. I'm here because I was there in 2009 when we formed our first TBID here in Morro Bay. And I remember Andy and a lot of other faces sitting out there. And we ultimately formed with just the group of about 30 hoteliers back then. Now there's about 30, well, it was 34. There's about 37 hotels now. Back then, it took, just for everybody in the audience to know, TOT provides 25% of the general fund monies in the city of Morro Bay, roughly. So that's 25% of every firefighter, every policeman, and every road that gets surfaced here in Morro Bay is paid for through TOT dollars. And thank you for all of that you do as vacation rental owners for helping to provide that. In addition to that, that amount was not even at $2 million 10 years ago. The entire collection of all 33 hotels, all the vacation rentals, and all the RV parks was not even at $2 million. Between 2009, it took about 18 months for the marketing to really kick in, and up to last year. So in 8 years, that went from about 1.85 million TOT collections to $3.3 million in TOT collections. So essentially, I'm not saying that it was all marketing, but marketing was a big piece of the pie that got the wedge out from under the wheel so the wheel could roll down the road and Morro Bay could start generating tourism revenue to support residents like me and residents like a lot of you and you. So I am pro-marketing, but I am not for the way that we're necessarily creating an adversarial relationship between our vacation rental owners and our hotel owners. We're in it together, guys. And I feel like they should be able to voice their opinions, really have maybe possibly a separate amount, higher or lower, and possibly have their own board with a dedicated staff person to support Jennifer. There's going to be 250 of them. There's 37 of us, and we have significantly different interests, although collectively we're for compressing the destination. So as a former board member for 7 years up there, I don't envy your position, and I hope that you advise the city to reduce the adversarial relationship by allowing them to create their own board. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
So good afternoon, members of the TBID TBID board. Thank you again for providing this forum to get some of this stuff out there. My name Andy Hamp, and we own Cypress RV Park in Morro Bay. So just to dock onto what was just said a few speakers ago, we're part of that county process, and I think that's made us even more against the TBID than before the process. But by now, it's no secret that Parks and Morro Bay are against it. We talked about a few of the factors. We face an unique and unfair rate situation. We'd be 14%. We're 11% behind the state parks in town. We're 11% behind every single park located in county jurisdiction. And then, you know, whether we have 1%, 2%, or 3%, we'll be respective up to 14% behind. And I hope that's clarified now. And then the other topic, the assessment far outweighs any benefits. I spoke earlier that we did fine before the TBID, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on marketing. Our customer behavior, market trends, competitive environment, economics are all substantially different than hotels and vacation rentals, just a few examples. Our capacity is more in line with demand as compared to the hotel industry. So you might say, well, okay, you can drive rates up. But that's where we differ a little bit. We can't drive rates up for two reasons. One, the state park is there at $50, and sometimes the state park is empty, and people, you know, things are a tiny bit slow, they shop. You know, they shop. So we kind of have a roof there. And the other thing is that we might be different at than the hotel industry. You know, we do not spend money on marketing. We spend it on coddling the customer. And you have to be careful about how you raise your rates from year to year, because these are families that visit you. My folks have this park since 74 for generations. And you don't want to up to who knows how much in the peak summer season and annoy them. So that's, you know, another thing where we might differ. And then in terms of recent growth trends, yes, the TOT numbers, maybe not so much last year, but 2 years before that, they did increase quite a bit. But the RV industry in the U.S. has boomed. RV unit shipments have been the highest ever in history in the last 2.5 years in terms of growth rates. There's studies that estimate 3.4 million new campers, and these make their way to the coast. California, you know, if you just did it by population, probably be about 400,000 new RVers, and they come here in sufficient numbers for us. And then also, there are far fewer RV parks, so that means we are blessed with not having to do as much marketing. People can go online and they find us. You know, sure, somebody might go into the visitor center. We're thankful when they call, but to tell you the truth, the last times they've called, we can't accommodate them because we're full. You know, just yesterday morning, our customer found us with RV Parky. That's what a lot of Europeans use. Very simple to use. They find us. There's a few parks there. They can figure it out. So we don't need Expedia, thank God. Never had to pay 15 to 20% to fill our parks. We don't need VRBO. We don't need all these grouping websites, Jackrabbit, and all the other marketing machinery that TBID's set in motion. And so we shouldn't be forced to pay for them. And then finally, that 1% there we are paying, that's more than many of the parks pay in total. So what we don't want is something akin going on where somebody formed a club, the Hotels and Hoteliers, in 2009. They did good in the town, and now they say we're going to force other guys in because you want to do more good. And that good will not benefit us. What maybe could be done is to think of a membership program like the Chamber does. You pay maybe a couple of $100 and you're a member of the Tours of Marketing, but not an assessment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I would say, frankly, I want to hear all of your thoughts on this, but the city attorney is correct. I want to respect everybody else's opportunity for public comment. It is 2:30, but I'm willing to stay and hear people out. But I do also respect that the meeting technically will be adjourning shortly.
I'm Doug Clausen, one of the owners and manager of Morro Dunes RV Park, and I'll make it short. I'll agree a lot with what Andy says. I take it there's roughly 6 RV parks in Morro Bay. There's 7 within 12 miles of us. Every one of those is on a road to Morro Bay. If we get to have to charge too much, people are going to stop. You know, it's like the hotels say we're getting it. You know, if we do it, they're going to get the advertising too, so it works both ways. We're going to have the same thing they are. We book up a year in advance, or take reservations a year in advance. I probably have 60 to 70, it varies, returnees every year. And so, you know, we have an RV book, Cal Arvik, that it goes into every rental RV that comes out of LA or Frisco. We're listed in it. And the foreign travelers come to us all the time, and they want one night. They'll fill in the empty spots and stuff. But if we have to do it, I think the whole town, everybody benefits. I agree with a lot of the people that spoke before, but as myself, I'm against that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any further public comment? Going once, going twice. All right. Seeing no further public comment then, as our deputy city manager gestured, we'll be following up towards the tail end of Q4 this year. The T-bid will be making a recommendation to City Council, and then City Council will then carry it from there. Seeing no further public comment, then we will call the meeting adjourned. It is 2:35.
So before you call a meeting adjourned, just wanted to see if the board had any guidelines for us as staff to bring in November, December. Feel free to share your thoughts to us.
They are allowed. Okay.
Yeah, you're able to share with us as you received. Public comment is now over. So give us your input. Let us know what you'd like to do after you heard from the audience.
Any questions that need to be answered?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. So some of the questions.
Okay.
Sorry, Aaron. I'll go into the questions, and then we'll hear from you. Process clarification. So we're hearing to some legalities. Doesn't feel right. So this is state code that the city's following. If you look under the street and highways code under section 36540 to 36542, this is all stated in there in the procedures. So that's pertaining to state code in there. Another question that we heard is will we carve out this budget for vacation rentals and RV parks? Hypothetically, if they were to come in the bid, would it all be lumped in together, I think is what I heard, or will it be sectioned off? We can do it with the recommendation of TBID. We can work together to section that off if that's the way ahead recommended from the board. So that is something that is flexible to do. But it's ultimately a council decision. Exactly. The recommendation is made by TBID, and then the council will approve that. Another question that I heard is the exact address on the website. Vacation rental owner came up and said that's something that they don't like to disclose until somebody actually comes in. And that's something, and Jen, feel free to expound on that, but that's something that we don't have to put the address on. We could do it like Craigslist and keep it vague if we want to, or just connect it to the link and funnel it to the URL as well. So we can put as much or as little information as the owner would like. And then, Jen, did you have anything?
A couple more. So just to expand on that a little bit, there was mention of Jackrabbit. Jackrabbit is just a funnel system that funnels you to wherever your property is listed. So if it's on Airbnb or HomeAway, it would just funnel it over there. So it would not be listing a map or anything on our website. Another thing I want to mention, Nick, you mentioned that Maggie is not allowed to vote. She actually is allowed to vote because her position on the board is a hotel position, so she is allowed to vote. What else do I want to mention? I think that was the only two things that I had down here.
Yeah. Those are all the questions that we noticed and wrote down.
Question regarding voting in those respects then. Mr. Green, then, what is his capacity and ability to vote?
I think I'll handle that or try to handle that. It depends on what the issue is that the T-bid board is going to be considering. If the T-bid board is considering whether or not to increase or decrease the assessments that currently are being charged, then all of you can participate in that because currently doesn't affect his business interest, which is a vacation rental, because vacation rentals aren't included. So if that's something that the board wants to discuss, that's something all of you can participate in. The reason the rest of you can participate in that, although you do represent business interests that have financial interest in that, is because there's a specific exclusion that allows when a business industry is required to be a participant in a governmental board, which you are, because that's how the T-bid code section has been drafted, and that's how your bylaws have been drafted, that there has to be certain representation of certain hoteliers, you can then participate. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense to have an industry board participate if you can't participate. With regard to the issue of whether or not to include vacation rentals in the T-bid, either its own T-bid or another T-bid.
Which really is the question at hand, I think, okay, for most of us here. Then
that issue is something that, as a vacation rental owner, Mr. Green cannot participate as a board member. He can participate as a member of the public. If you have that item before you on an agenda, he can speak to you as a member of the public, but he can't sit on the board and participate. He has to then leave the room, as happens in council meetings when there's conflicts of interest.
But is his seat a member-at-large seat? Forgive me, I don't have everybody's seat.
He's a member-at-large seat, but the specific restriction or the specific exemption isn't for at-large members. It's for members who are appointed for specific business purposes, which is the rest of you. And because he has a financial interest in whether or not a vacation rental is, whether or not vacation rentals would be included in the bid, because of that financial interest and because the exemption doesn't apply to him, because there isn't any requirement that a vacation rental owner be a member of the board, he wouldn't be able to participate as a board member. Again, he can still participate in giving input to the public. He also would be prohibited from trying to influence each of you individually by calling you individually and saying, please don't do this.
Sure. No, I follow what you're saying, but given that his, I guess we'll have to discuss this in private then, but given that his seat is, we'll follow up later.
And just one thing, I heard a question that, Ikani, if you can elaborate on a little bit more just to make sure people are clear.
Of course.
I heard one gentleman ask, this is kind of like a Prop 218 thing, and I think we need to be clear that it is not, there's not a vote, and that currently formulated under the 1989 T-bid rules means that 51% of the constituency would have to come forward and protest at the city council meeting where they vote in order to prevent this. So say we should go forward and recommend that RV parks and vacation rentals be included, and that recommendation goes, that the only way that could be stopped, not through a public vote, and it would be weighted based on revenue provided by the hotels, which, as we saw from the pie chart, is heavily weighted to the hotels. 51% of that revenue section of the constituency would have to come forward and protest.
Yes, that is correct. Clarification, just Maggie hit it on the head, so I just repeat what you would say. This is, the T-bid is an assessment. It is not a tax. So because it's an assessment, it deals with direct benefits, and we don't have, because it's not a tax, it doesn't fall under the Prop 218, so there's not a vote. It falls under the 1989 laws, which is the California Code, looking under the modification section, which is 36540 and 36542 is the modification rules of what this process would fall under, which is a negative protest procedure to overturn that those that are not in favor would have to protest about 50% plus one. So you are correct, Maggie.
Which is actually also true if in the original process that was used to create the T-bid, if everyone was going to be included, RV parks and vacation rentals and hoteliers, that same rule would have applied. So it's applying the same rule at the beginning and applying it now.
Chair Graves, board members, feel free to share any suggestions or any guidance that you would like, any direction for us for the upcoming meetings.
Actually, just to be specific, so we don't have any problem with violating the Brown Act, or not necessarily the Brown Act, but the Fair Political Practices, Political Reform Act, because of that issue of who can participate with the discussion, you really aren't, and the agenda that was posted didn't say you were going to discuss this tonight, today. What the agenda said was you were going to get information that you were then going to consider and discuss at a future meeting. So today you're really not going to be discussing what your thoughts are. If you have questions that you want to ask of staff based on what the public may have asked, if you want to ask staff to do more analysis or provide more information to you based on what the public has said, you certainly can do that. Or if you have a question that you want answered because of something the public said, you can certainly ask that question.
So to be clear then, we cannot drill down on our specific thoughts at the moment because that's not on the agenda. However, we can ask for greater detail, clarification, or elaboration on public comment.
For a future, for either if they can give the additional information now or at a future meeting. Right.
Okay.
Mr. Green.
And all of you can do that, including...
Yeah. All right. Maybe directives toward city staff that might be useful. I'd love to see them penciling out 1% assessment for maybe the next 3 years, and that can be included in whether that's a 1%, 2%, or 3% T-bid to the hotels, but somehow include a 1% amount for VRs and RVs. I'd like to see that projection. I'd also love to see any kind of hard ROI numbers on marketing. We've been kind of fighting that battle every T-bid meeting. So even if it's just a simple calculation of TOT set against whether it's Mental Marketing's budget or T-bid budget in general, or some kind of hard number comparison that's not simply TOT over time, that would be useful. And then lastly, there might be a question for Scott or Connie, I don't know. Would love to know a time and expense breakdown of city staff spending time managing VR permit applications, any kind of management, or I know we all deal with these paper and pencil checks that we have to send, just the logistical back end stuff on VRs and RV payment time and expense.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Ms. Jern, do you have thoughts?
Kind of going along with what Sean said, I would like to see at our next, couple of T-bid meetings where we'll be discussing this and drilling down on it to see more information or to open up the possibilities. I think most of the discussion at this point has been to be just, can we bring the RV and VRs in at 3%? I would really, to second what Sean's saying, really like to understand what all the different options are, including perhaps going to a different model of a different regulation for the T-bid, going to the 1994 regulations, which says it has to be positively approved every 5 years. I lost my turn. I think that was it. So, thanks.
Mr. Yates?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank everybody who came today and participated because this is an open discussion. One of my biggest fears is that we cram something down the throats of our neighbors that doesn't work. You guys are our competition, but you are, you're complementary to what we do. It takes all of this tourism together to make our community better, to have guests. And I look back at a reunion we just had. Guests stayed at Cypress. They stayed at the state campground. They stayed at a VRBO, and they stayed at our hotel. And for me, that's the best of for everyone, that everyone got a piece of this. So some of my takeaway is that I hear it's duplication of effort. It's a benefit. It's a detriment. We accept 1%. Well, if you're going to accept anything, then you're for it. And I think that what I hear from my board members is, we know that what we're doing is working, and we know that we can benefit the VRBOs and campgrounds with continuing to be working together. So that's been my entire point, is to have this open discussion and to hear it all from you guys and not be that we're going to push it on through, but we're going to discuss it and try to work with you as a team so that we can promote Morro Bay to tourism entirely, not just a hotel or an RV or a VRBO, but as a destination resort. So that's me. Thank you.
Thank you for your positive energy, Charlie. Always upbeat. But to stay clear with city attorney's objectives here and how we're supposed to respond back, a couple things that seem prudent at this point would be to look at Jen's office, Director of Tourism, the logistics. If we were to bring the VRs in, Jen, what would that look like in your office? And I think that we would want to see some sort of organizational chart. Are we just chasing our tail? Or is it something you can manage effectively with the possible budget influx? One point. The second point being, and I think we do have this from a previous meeting, maybe 6 or 8 months ago, if we were to reduce T-bid across all the board, across all the hoteliers, and then bring VRs in, what would effectively be our break-even point in that budget? And then I think we should have a multi-stage approach to saying, could we lessen the percentage of the VRs? Could we bring the hotels up and stay at the three? And effectively, if it's a gradient, we can start really looking at the numbers in here and the impact. Then roll that in, Jen, with possible what additional staff you may need and see, really, is this an asset for the city or not? Or do we have any further thoughts or directions for staff based on the comments we've seen or heard?
I'm not sure of the figure, but I'm curious about what, you know, we have in the pipeline, Scott. We've got 60-plus potential vacation rentals.
Yes, so we have the 250 cap, and we're at it, and we have 60 approximately on the waiting list.
And do you have any indication what's happening north and south of us? Who vacation rentals, what's happening in Cayucas unincorporated areas? Are there more on the pipeline?
Cayucas, you know.
Coming. I mean, I'm curious if the competition for our existing Morro Bay VRBOs is going to increase.
Cayucas and like Cambria are unincorporated areas in the county. They have their own vacation rental ordinance in place right now. In fact, we're using the counties as we'll be using the counties as an example, because they were able to certify theirs through the Coastal Commission, and so we're using that as a starting point. I mean, that's about all I know about it. That's what they're in place now. They were able to certify theirs a few years ago, and I think they've even made some updates to it since they originally certified it. And Coastal suggested that we use them as a model.
Thanks, Scott. I was really just curious about if more competition was coming into the pipeline, how it could affect what's happening here.
Can I comment on that as an operator? If I can answer that question. Is that allowed?
Where?
It's closed.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Jern. A public comment has been closed. I'm being advised right now. Is there any further discussion from the board then? Is it appropriate to adjourn the meeting then? Did we miss anything? All right. Meeting is adjourned. It is 2:50 p.m.
Thank you, Joe. Take a look. Thank you.